WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. We are continuing our three-part series looking at the past, present, and future of psychedelics in Massachusetts as a potential ballot question could lead to the decriminalization of some of the hallucinogens. For our discussion about the present of psychedelics in the state, we are going to zero in on that ballot question with State House News Services reporter Sam Drysdale. She's been covering the proposed measure, and she's going to tell us more about it. Sam, welcome back to The Common.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you've been covering the proposed ballot question that could decriminalize some psychedelics in the state of Massachusetts. Start us off with some more details about this ballot measure.
Sure. So this would decriminalize natural psychedelics like psilocybin, which is found in magic mushrooms, and it would be used for personal use. And it would also create a regulatory framework to make the substances available in what they call therapeutic settings, which would be a regulated and taxed system. It would also apply to other natural psychedelics like mescaline and ibogaine. Under this ballot question, Bay Staters wouldn't be able to face criminal penalties for growing small amounts for personal use, but they could legally seek mental health treatment through a licensed facilitator in a session where they use psychedelics, rather than with cannabis, where you could walk into a pot shop and, you know, buy some marijuana.
And listeners, to be clear, peyote does not fall under the state's definition of natural psychedelic substances. So, anyways, Sam, tell me, who is behind this ballot measure?
There is a Washington, D.C.-based political action committee called New Approach. They've opened up a local arm called Massachusetts for Mental Health Options that is pushing this ballot measure. And the same group successfully pushed similar psychedelic ballot questions in Oregon and Colorado. So it's the same group that has had success in the past.
Okay, so this is an outside group pushing this ballot measure. How have people responded to that?
So the legislature put together a committee to hear testimony on each of the ballot questions that could make it onto the ballot this November. There has been a lot of turnout, both in favor of the question or seeking alternatives, and then some who are opposing it. As far as the supporters of the ballot measure go, they really range from people who have used these substances to treat chronic pain, recover from addiction, address trauma. There's a lot of veterans who support the idea because psilocybin has been shown to be really effective in the treatment of PTSD. There was one man who testified before the committee when they did a hearing on the ballot question back in March, who said that two therapeutic sessions using psilocybin helped him process sexual abuse that he experienced as a child. And he said that he'd like to do another session, but he's afraid because there's no safe and legal program to do so in Massachusetts. Some people said that a single session helped them quit smoking cigarettes after years of addiction. There's a whole range of supporters. There's also folks who oppose it, so...
We're going to get to those who oppose it. I do want to play some tape from this hearing you're talking about. We actually have some tape from Franklin King, who is the director of training and education at the Center for Neuroscience of Psychedelics at the Massachusetts General Hospital. Here's what he has to say.
Psychedelics are certainly not panaceas, but the evidence that they show absolutely immense promise in addressing many of the very conditions we are facing right now. The epidemics of suicide, depression, substance use disorder, burnout in healthcare workers and others is unquestionable.
So would you say that's a good summary of the support for this ballot measure?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of people who say that there's a lot of research that it could help with the mental health crisis happening in America right now. And a lot of the supporters also say that unlike other treatments like SSRIs or other drugs like opiates, these psychedelic substances aren't physically addictive. So they see that as another way to use them medically in a way that's maybe a bit safer than some other treatments.
So Sam, right now I want to take a break. But when we get back, I want to jump into that opposition. I want to jump into the people who are against this ballot measure.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Seen. Listen and follow Last Seen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with State House News Service reporter Sam Drysdale. So, Sam, we're talking about a ballot question that could lead to the decriminalization of some plant-based psychedelics. And you just talked to us about support for the measure. Now, let's get into the opposition. Tell us about that.
So, in the hearing before lawmakers, where people got the opportunity to say whether they supported or opposed the idea, only two people came out opposed to the ballot question, but they made strong stances against the idea. Dr. Nasir Gaymi, who's a professor of psychiatry at Tufts Medical Center and the incoming president of the Massachusetts Psychiatric Society. He said that people with psychotic diseases like schizophrenia or bipolar disorders, psychedelics can trigger manic episodes, and he was worried that widespread use without supervision could lead to folks who are undiagnosed or diagnosed and unaware of the consequences could have negative psychotic reactions to these substances. He also argued that there hasn't been enough research done yet, and supporters later pushed back at that idea during the hearing. They said that there's been research on this since the 70s, and that destigmatizing the use of the drugs could advance research even further. So there seems to be some division on how much research is enough for widespread use. And then Dr. John Fromson, who is the current president of the Massachusetts Psychiatric Society, and he's a psychiatrist at Brigham and Women's Hospital, he said that there's promising work being done, and he's hopeful about the PTSD treatment using these drugs. But he urged lawmakers to wait until the Federal Drug Administration approved the use of psychedelics for treatment, saying there's just too many risks right now with uncertainty.
We actually have some tape from Dr. Fromson talking about this in the legislative hearing.
What's going to happen with the professional liability risk? Are there carriers that are going to pick that up? Also, I heard nothing about perinatal health and women's health and the effect to an unborn fetus, or what sort of screening process is there going to be for women who are at reproductive age? We don't know the outcomes of the use of these powerful substances and reproductive health.
Now, Sam, I want to come back to this idea of this group from outside of Massachusetts pushing for this ballot measure to decriminalize some plant-based psychedelics here in the state. How did people respond to that?
There's a local group here called Bay Staters for Natural Medicine, who has also been a part of this conversation. And they support decriminalizing these substances, but they want to see a different regulatory model. And they've been critical about just taking the model that the outside pack applied in Oregon and having it used here in Massachusetts. One of their main concerns is about affordability. In Oregon, a psilocybin facilitation session can cost an average $1,500 to $4,000. So Bay Staters for Natural Medicine say that these plants should be accessible for everyone and not just the wealthy. So they have a different plan on how they would like to see that happen.
Okay. Now, you know, we also have tape from the founder of Bay Staters for Natural Medicine, James Davis.
Allowing this pack for the sake of convenience to control our system is going to lead to favorable outcomes, has been empirically denied.
Yeah, so this group is actually pushing for lawmakers to substitute the text of a ballot question with the text of a new bill. They would essentially want to send an alternative ballot question on psychedelics before voters in November. And their main points include avoiding having an unelected control board similar to the Cannabis Control Commission to control psilocybin use in Massachusetts. And the legislation that they support is it would create guardrails for the Department of Public Health to license psilocybin facilitators similar to how it regulates licensed counselors now and would still decriminalize small amounts of psilocybin to grow and to share non-commercially, although they would allow for slightly more natural psilocybin growth than the ballot question that's likely going to go before voters in November. They've had over 100 people sent letters to the joint committee that's tasked with reviewing the ballot questions in favor of substituting the text for the version that they prefer. Provincetown and Medford have also passed resolutions locally calling for substitution. Provincetown has said they sent a letter to the committee saying that they feel like their town has the potential to become a major hub in what they call healing tourism, offering retreats for people to help recover from trauma. They said it would be good for their economy, but it's not something that is really realistic under the model that is proposed on the ballot right now.
Thank you for explaining all of that. Now, I'm really curious to know, how have lawmakers responded to the idea of decriminalizing some psychedelics?
Lawmakers who were on the ballot initiative commission, they personally thanked a lot of the speakers who revealed intimate details about trauma that they've experienced and how psychedelics helped them heal from it. I was actually surprised by how moved a lot of them seemed. But at the same time, this is a fairly controversial initiative, and the legislature doesn't love sticking its neck out on some really controversial topics, such as this one, without years of review. Cannabis, for example, was legalized by voters on the ballot in 2016. Lawmakers were happy to let voters decide that for themselves. So we'll see if there's a similar process this time around.
Understood. Well, what will you be paying attention to in the future regarding this issue?
So the legislature had until May 1st to take legislative action on any of the ballot questions that were before them. Since they didn't, campaigns can now collect their final round of signatures to put the question before voters in November. The campaign will have to collect an additional 12,000 signatures, 12,429 to be exact, file them with local election officials for certification in July. And then if enough signatures are filed, the measure will be placed on the ballot and voters will have a chance to give their say in November.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for coming through to the Common to talk to us about this ballot measure and this very important topic. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's State House News Service reporter Sam Drysdale. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.